Welcome to episode 5 of The Purple Patch. And let me just say that this is, in fact, a pod that is created by the fans for the fans. And without further ado, speaking of fans, it's quite exciting to have the man of the moment live from Launceston on site, Mr. Duck himself. Duck, how are you going?
Yeah, good, Oz, mate. I'm actually in Hobart at the moment. I'm driving to Launceston tomorrow.
Ah, nice. So, okay. So you're living the dream, yeah. Doing a bit of sightseeing at the moment.
Yeah, mate. Went to Mona today and looked at that freaky museum, and it was really great, and had a lovely lunch and going out for dinner in a couple of hours. So good times here, mate.
Fantastic, mate. And I'll tell you, you must be pretty excited. I reckon we're a bit of a sniff, and we're going to go through the ins and outs in a second, buddy. But I tell you what, in terms of getting up and about, going from the lows of the low in terms of last week's game, but certainly we're up and about, and hopefully we have a sniff, mate.
Yeah, mate, as we always say, as soon as Saturday comes around, we're always in with a chance, especially this Freo Dockers side, mate. We're always a chance, so it's going to be interesting, mate. 1-11 in Tasmania, and the only game we ever won was Siren Gate,
yeah.
In which the game was won about 3 days after we actually won. So, yeah, classic.
Look, mate, much like this podcast, we do what we have to do to make it work. Sure we're going to represent quite well. But look, mate, here are the ins for the Fremantle Dockers, and there's been a few changes. So I'll just read across the lines, as it were. So we've got Hamling, Wilson, and Ryan. We've got Blakely, Hughes, and Conker. Hill, Fife, and Langdon. And then we've got Tucker, Walters, and Collier. And in the forward line, we've got McCarthy, Matera, and Lobb. Our followers are Darcy, Chera, and Mundy. On the interchange, we've got Niehaus, Switkowski, Hill, and Brayshaw. And our emergencies are Duman, Logue, Croden, and Bewley. What are your thoughts there? Mm.
So the ins of Darcy, Niehaus, and Hill. Thought Niehaus, you know, we'll talk about him in a second. The matchups will be very important. Stephen Hill straight back in is a little bit interesting. And Darcy obviously getting the week off. I was a little bit surprised that Logan Croden got the chop. I thought they'd both serviceable last week, and Logan the last couple of weeks has been good. So interesting there, but you never know. It could have been matchups or you know, what their job was last week, what their role was last weekend. We're not really privy to that, and whether or not they completed that role or not to the best of their ability, I guess. So, mate, it's three changes. Wasn't expecting Hill to come back this week, but he's back in, and hopefully he can give us a bit of run on the outside.
Yeah, look, interesting. Clearly they've gone with a different modus operandi, but I can understand certainly if KPIs aren't hit that those changes will be made. Quickly skipping over to Hawthorne, mate. So just very quickly for Hawthorne, starting from the back line, we've got Frawley, O'Brien, Burgoyne, then we have Stratton, Sicily, Hardwick, Henderson, Howe, and Shields. Howe's going to be quite interesting, whether or not he matches up on Fife, but I'll talk about that later. Then we've got Bruce, Wingard, and Puopolo with Nash, Impey, and Lewis in the forward line. Their followers are McAvoy, O'Meara, and Smith in their interchange, named for the first time in a while. So we've got Birchall, Scully, Warple, and Hanrahan, and their emergencies, Jones, Glass, Cousins, and Segler. What are your thoughts there, Duck?
Wingard coming back in, and Birchall's first game for about 3 years, I think, very important. But Gunston going out to a good thing for us. But the last 2 weeks, we've had Josh Kennedy go out and Charlie Tuino go down in the first minute or so. So, you know, it hasn't really proved to be a good thing, considering we lost those last 2 games. But, you know, we'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah, look, absolutely. So, yeah, I guess, you know, having a look at you know, those ins and outs really just leads us straight into the matchups. And we thought we'd mix it up a little bit this time around with our matchups. And you're going to do the backs and the forwards. And I'll have a crack at the mids and sort of mix it up a little bit. But did you want to get us going with the backs, mate?
Yeah, so obviously the key matchup in our back line, Niehaus versus Luke Bruce. Niehaus, third game this year. I thought he was really great against Western Bulldogs and Adelaide Crows. Did a job on Eddie Betts, and against Western Bulldogs was really, really great at attacking the ball. Look, average against Richmond, but wasn't the only one. And Look, Akita locking down on Bruce, who's kicked 10 goals in the last four games versus the Dockers. Last week, the small forwards, although Rioli and Ryan didn't really get off the chain much, Cripps and Cameron kicked 8 goals between them. And I'd say Bruce is more of that Cripps style. He's kicked 25 goals in 2019 and he's probably the most underrated small forward in the competition. And very important now that Gunston's gone down, to them kicking a score will be how many goals Bruce can kick. And if Niehaus can do a job on him, which I hope he can, and I think he'll be... He's a bit underrated, Niehaus. I would have hoped he would have played a lot more games than what he has this year. I think he's got a real sniff to stay in the team and cement his spot. And, you know, if he can cement his spot in this last run home and really play well, I think he'll be sticking around in the club for next year, you know?
Yeah, look, absolutely. I agree with, you know, whether or not he was in or out for whatever reason, but I agree with the fact that I'd like to have seen him in probably a little bit more often than what he has been. Very clinical with ball in hand. And he's done his job. So he gets an opportunity again, Duck, like you said, and hopefully... you know, holds his head high in that contest. Let's see if the matchup actually eventuates, because I don't think my particular matchup will, Duck. Do you want me to go straight to the mids?
Yeah, mate, go for it.
Yeah, look, this is the dream matchup. It's the matchup that fans would pay admission to see, and that's Nat Fyfe versus Jago O'Meara. I don't think it would actually eventuate, but I'm just going to talk about my dream matchup and then eventually talk about who I think will end up being on him as such. But look, clearly when we talk about Jago O'Meara and what he's done, you know, he's actually had some significant games this year in terms of disposals and clearances as well. He's had some significant impact on games throughout the course of the year, and is one of the reasons why Hawthorn is really a sniff to make finals, of sort of getting on this run, if you will. So I guess if you're looking at, you know, head-to-head O'Meara versus Fyfe, they're quite similar in a number of KPIs. You know, in terms of kicks, are averaging very close to the 15 to 13. Disposals, 26 for O'Meara and 29 for Fyfe. But what interests me, Duck, is the clearances. And the clearances is where it looked like we got sort of smacked around a little bit last week. So this week's going to be quite interesting. But O'Meara averages just under 7 clearances and Fyfe just under 8 clearances. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, if they do happen to go head-to-head, how that actually turns out. And I go back to one of O'Meara's games, I think it was earlier in the season, where he actually got 42 touches against Carlton. So effectively had leather poisoning, as they say. But he has had disposals, you know, in the high 20s and in the 30s throughout the course of the year. He's certainly on the rise. He's a bit older than what I actually gave him credit for some reason. I actually thought he was a bit younger, but because he's obviously spent that time at Gold Coast, and then, you know, he's now on the scene at Hawthorn, we probably see a little bit more of him than what we have in the past, and that's quite interesting. So I think for mine, Duck, that would be an awesome matchup to see those two guns go head-to-head. But I don't think they will, because what I think will happen is I actually think Daniel Howe will probably go to Nat Fyfe, and having seen what Yeo did to Fyfe and just, you know, wearing him down over the course of four quarters, and then, you know, the team playing their role from West Coast off the ball, making sure they're knocking him down and putting him down and wearing him down, and by the fourth quarter he looked pretty buggered. I wouldn't be surprised if that wasn't noticed and is now blueprint to take down our big clearance beast. But I'm certain that Fyfe will pick up from last week. I'd love to see a bounce back game, as I say, Duck, and as you've mentioned several times, one of the KPIs for us to win is that Fyfe has to be best on ground. So look for Fyfe to bounce back, mate.
Yeah, sounds good, mate. I think, you're probably spot on there with Jago O'Meara's clearance work, and I think we've been demolished in the clearances in the last. And I don't have the stats in front of me, but I just feel from watching the games against Carlton, you know, bloody Curnow had a heap of clearances, 16 clearances. I think against Melbourne as well, after the first half, I felt like Melbourne really got on top in their clearance work. And obviously against Eagles last week, you know, especially their centre clearance work, they just took us to town. So something that needs to improve upon, and it's going to be a midfield group with Darcy along there and working hard and hopefully getting on top. And, you know, big boy McAvoy is a bit of an underrated ruckman as well. I know all these Hawthorn players seem underrated, but he's a bit underrated. Yeah. Mate, just into the forward line.
Go.
My matchup for the forward line will be Rory Lobb versus James Sicily. Look, Lobb came back from injury last week and was very quiet. Needs to prove a bit to me now that he actually is a forward slash ruck, the guy who we brought over. Because, I mean, we've got Big Darcy and we've got Sandy, and I don't know how long Sandy's got left in him after last week, but we've got these two big ruckmen, and Darcy in particular, who looks to be a big ruckman. We need to be straightened up and have a forward option, and I think that's where Lobb needs to stand up. Now, big thing that Trevor King was talking to us last week was up in the media box that he reckons Lobb likes to come in from the side, side dog,
that's
likes to come in from the side for those contested marks rather than running straight at it. And look, I mean, if he can kick two or three goals, it'll be very important because I feel it's going to be a low-scoring affair down in Launceston. So it's important that if we can get two or three goals from Lobb and some big contested marks and some link work up to centre-half forward, you know, not necessarily looking at his goals, but if he can get nine marks, it'll be very important. On the flip side, James Sicily, mate, is the key to the Hawks' defence. He sets up, he's the key to their attack as well, in a sense. Mate, he's a great inset mark and he's kicking the lead. And the way we bomb it inside 50, he'll be eating them up. But hopefully we can see him have a quieter game. And he may have to move down forward now that Gunston is out. But look, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays down back. And, you know, we've really got to make sure we're not bombing it down so he can just feast on those. And hopefully Lobb will give us a big option up forward.
Look, I hope so too. I hope our inside 50s are a little bit more clinical this time round, Duck. I also hope that, you know, we don't get carried away with the volume of inside 50s. It's more of the quality of the inside 50s. And, you know, there are a couple of very solid marks back there. So we need to make sure that we're hitting those targets, as they say, mate.
Fantastic, mate. Yep. Hey, look, just before we go to the break, Oz, just remember, guys, we've got the Freo Dockers have their online auction. It's now live. You've got all this once-in-a-lifetime memorabilia up for grabs. I had a look just here, Oz, because I managed to actually get the printout that I got last week. How about this one? 365 Gatorade bottles for your sporting club.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad, mate. I don't mind that at all. Look, there's a few here that I've got, you know, apart from the player signed photos of pretty much every single player and worker at the club.
Mate, but, you're telling me that Lloyd Meek signed photo wouldn't have you licking your lips, mate, if you saw that on your wall?
Mate, I tell you what does, though. Look, in terms of golf, I'm just going to talk about that for a second. There's a few things here that pop up on the radar that if you're an avid golfer, that they've got the TaylorMade TM19 Premium Cart Bag in charcoal, which is delish. They've got the Callaway XR16 driver. And I personally have a Click Gear myself, but a Click Gear 3.5 buggy, which is the bee's knees in terms of carting around it's a chariot to cart around your clubs. So if you're serious about your gear as well, mate, I tell you, there's a lot of things here that you wouldn't think are actually part of an auction for a football club, but delve into it. It's like a deep dive. The more you deep dive, the more you find it. I tell you, mate,
just before we go, mate, this one's just really got me lighted up. A guided tour of the Fremantle and Dockers home base at Coburn Arc with the Freo Dockers CEO Steve Rosich and the Dockers player, mate. We went through there.
Oh, yeah,
quite
mate.
A quick little tour.
Oh, baby.
Mate, it's a fantastic facility, guys. And you haven't been down there. I think on Tuesday they have an open day as well.
Yes.
So, mate, we're plugging things all over the place. Tuesday, mate. Open day, kids' day or something like that.
My kids hopefully will be down there, mate. We'll be doing hopefully a few interviews and I'll be palming the kiddlywinks off so they can have fun at the Arc. Hopefully meet some friends, meet some people, not get lost. And then, we're good to go.
All right, Oz, let's go to a break. When we come back, guys, dual citizens and the first time they met, and then some predictions to finish off.
All right, welcome back to the Purple Patch, and this is episode 5 featuring Oz and Duck. And Duck is in Launceston. Well, he's actually in Hobart, but he will be in Launceston for the game. He's excited. He's got a crew They're ready to make some noise. And by the sounds of it, there's some Purple Patch and Purple Rain listeners that are actually already in contact with you, hoping to catch up and make the place a forever purple scenario, Duck.
Well, guys, if you're down in Launceston for the game, watch out for me. I'll be wearing a very retro Dockers jacket. I've got the light purple with the green and the red, mate. So I'll be up and about very, I think it's circa about 1996, maybe 97, this jacket. It's the light purple, which has got me licking my lips. But, mate, let's get into dual citizens
let's
for this week
it.
Now. Number of guys I could have had a look at that have played for both Hawthorn and Fremantle, but the main man we've got to look at is a man in Tambop that they used to call the Lamb Shearer, old Trent Crowe, who played 184 games for Hawthorn and 38 games for the Fremantle Dockers. Actually led Freo Dockers, he was their leading goal kicker in 2002 with 42 goals, including a match-winning 7 goals in the game in which Jeff Farmer kicked the goal after the siren, mate. So Jeff Farmer's seen as the hero of that game, but in a real tight game that the Dockers only just won, Crowe kicked 7, and he was clearly the best on in that day.
I remember that game, mate. Sensational game. I remember being in that stand watching him boot the 7, thinking, here we go, we've got ourselves a key position forward.
Yeah. Well, that's it, mate, isn't it? You just you get yourself licking your lips. Hey, mate, obviously in 2001, Crowe and McFarlane were traded to the Dockers, pick 1, 20 and 36. Pick 1 being Luke Hodge, who had played 305 games for Hawthorn. Pick 20 being Dan Elston, who didn't play and doesn't even have a Wikipedia page, mate. And then pick 36 being Sam Mitchell, who played 307 games for Hawthorn. So in retrospect, that trade didn't work out, mate. But the big thing is, mate, is obviously reading the book and reading the Dockers book, the whole idea of getting Crowe to McFarlane in particular and what they would have done if they kept the number one pick is probably picked Polak at 1, because I really, Swab was quite fearful about Pad leaving and us having no key position players. So when you look at it at the time, I mean, in that trade period, we got Farmer in, Troy Simmons, Crowe, McFarlane. So it was actually a real... It was a real boon for the club, mate, in terms of everyone getting some mature age guys and guys that are really ready to go. And Crowe was a really good player at the time and proved to be actually quite a good acquisition. The only thing, though, obviously, and I always say everyone has a PhD in hindsight, mate, if we don't trade Crowe to get Crowe McFarlane, or Crowe in particular, I think was the key in that package, we pick Polak at number one as the number one pick, which would have been very interesting. Hodge goes 2, Ball goes 3, and then at 4, where we've got our other pick, we might have
got up
on
the
end. Yeah. But look, in the end, Crowe went back. He was homesick, as you know, all adult male football players do get homesick every year in October. He got traded back for pick 10, who was Riley Dunn, who ended up playing 8 games after debuting in 2005 with his first game. He could have got picked. I think he played the first 2, and then he only played 6 games after that in the next couple of years at the club.
Yep. Yeah, I look at that. I remember I'm pretty sure Crowe was actually in hospital when he found out that he was traded to Freo. I remember he was coming off surgery or something like that. And I also remember the backlash following years later of the McFarlane and you know, the Hodge and the Mitchell. But I look at the other side and go, well, actually McFarlane was, you know, such a good acquisition at the time and steadied once he settled into the back line, actually steadied, you know, that part of the ground for us and was quite iconic and is will always be remembered as being a linchpin in our finals push. So I know what could have been. I know the Judd thing is mental, but I think you know, we've got to look at, you know, the idea of McFarlane as well being super awesome. And yeah, look, Crowe didn't work out, bro, but you know, McFarlane sure did.
Yeah, that's it. That's the way you got to look at some things sometimes. But look, obviously, if we don't get Crowe, and then, you know, you never know, Pav might have left. You never know what would have happened, but. look, you know, like Ross says, if my auntie had whiskers, she'd be my uncle. So who knows in that case, mate. Have you got the first time they met?
I have. Look, and I'm sure you can hear this on the other end, Duck. And we're going to start with the first time they met, Saturday the 15th of July, 1995. And this was the number one hit, Duck. It was Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me from Batman Forever. And that was U2. Who was actually, on top of that one. Look, let me just run through the first time we met versus Hawthorn. The scoreline wasn't as bad as what you would imagine. So Hawthorn finished 18-10, 118 to Fremantle's 11-8, 74. And the Brownlow votes for that day was 3 to Darren Jarman, 2 to Chris Langford, and 1 to Mr. Hargraves himself. So if we have a look at the Fremantle players, the names that we've already read out are quite interesting. But in a mini slash, I know we'd cut out the deep dive, but in a mini interest, I'll just go through some names that you might not know. One is Retzlaff. Retzlaff, Brendan Retzlaff played against Hawthorn that day and put up.
Who the hell is that?
Mate, I'm about to tell you. He had 20 disposals that day. It was actually our fourth highest disposal getter. Then we had Neil Meldenhall, who actually made.
Meldenhall,
pretty good effort. Greg Madigan was in there as well. Phil Gilbert also played in that game, as did Johnny Hutton. And Jamie.
Oh, mate, the helmet.
Jamie Morello, not to be confused with Jason Derulo, he also made his debut as well. But let me just do, I know we said we cut this down, but I thought this was quite interesting. Brendan Retzlaff was originally a footballer for the old Swannies, mate, Swan District. So, you know, quite a handy footballer. What basically happened was after 89 being drafted by Collingwood, he then made his debut, but didn't really play in the preseason, but didn't really play a game as such for Collingwood. So then he got moved on to Brisbane. And then after hanging around in Brisbane, he then moved on to the West Coast Eagles in the 93 preseason draft, and then eventually ended up at the Dockers. Now, for the Fremantle Dockers, he unfortunately didn't last past the first year, but he was quite a handy player, mate. He was around 78 kegs. He was 180 centimetres. He was, you know, I guess someone who was of interest. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. I'm like, I can't remember this guy, but... You know, doing a bit of a mini deep dive, mate. Quite an interesting career there. And he actually represented Western Australia four times, and he won the Simpson Medal in 1991 for being the best player for WA. How about them apples?
How about that, mate? A little bit of a deep dive.
Yeah, mate. The mini deep dive, because we're trying to cut it back. So there we go.
Yeah. Mate, that's good. All right, let's get into predictions, hey, mate.
Let's get into our predictions, mate. I'm going to start with, hang on. Who did it last time? I think you went first last time, so I'll go first, mate.
Yeah.
Look, I think this one's going to be tight. I think the boys are really coming out to play in terms of they need to show, you know, what they have been working hard towards all year. I think what we forget is that we're still actually a final sniff, and so that's not to be sniffed at, so to speak. Pardon the pun.
Yeah.
I dare say that we're probably going to be within the 1-2 goal margin all game, but I think we're going to sneak over the line. I've got us winning by 4 points, Duck, in what's going to be a scrappy game.
Yeah, mate. Well, I'm going to say this, mate, and this is going to be an outrageous statement, but I'm going to say we may see a repeat of Siren Gate. There you go. Dockers to win by a couple of points. A siren to sound. No one knows what's going on. Hawthorn kick a goal. This time they probably win the match. And, let's just say Hawthorn end up getting the win because of it, mate.
Do you reckon, Connolly runs out just for the old time's sake, mate?
Maybe Chris Connolly comes out of nowhere. Oh, that'd be great, mate.
Oh, classic. Mate, I'll tell
right,
you what.
All right, then on.
Absolute pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for giving up your time. I know you're on holiday, but you're really there to do your job, and that is to get some stats and get interest for the Fremantle Football Club, mate. The Purple Patch wouldn't be what it is without you, buddy. So enjoy the great atmosphere created down there by the fans.
Yeah, we'll do.
Hopefully people get around you down there, mate. You'll be wearing your retro jacket.
Yep, retro, a light purple jacket with the green and the red, guys. You will not be able to miss it, trust me.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so look, once again, guys, make sure you get around it. It's a great opportunity for us to bounce back. And look, if you listen and you like the Purple Patch, why not have a go listening to The Purple Rain, which is our other podcast. And certainly we deep dive into a few other things there. But enjoy the game this week. Go Frio, and let's hope the lads bounce back.